Amen. You may be seated. We're delighted to have quite a number of our members of Presbytery and ministers here in the congregation today, and we do welcome them as well. But we're delighted that the Reverend James Harden, Willie's minister of 17 years, is here today. We're going to ask Mr. Harden to come and to open in prayer, after which our present moderator, Dr. Ron Johnson, will come and bring a word on behalf of Presbytery. So Mr. Harden will come and lead us in prayer, after which Dr. Johnson will come and say a few words on behalf of Presbytery. Thank you.
Just before we open in prayer, could I say on behalf of my wife Elizabeth and myself, offer our deepest sympathy to Mrs. Ferguson, to Margaret and Noel and John and Martha and the family circle. We are remembering you very specially. You're very special people. And Willie Ferguson was a gentleman. He was a Christian gentleman. And anybody that came in contact with him knew that. And for 17 years, I had the pleasure and the privilege of working with Willie in the church. The church was Willie's life. And he gave himself for it, and he loved it. And he just seemed loved to see it progressing. And I want to thank the family, the Reverend Thompson, for inviting me today to take part in this service of thanksgiving for the life of Willie Ferguson. Let us pray. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently in thy presence today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the sole King and head of the church, church which he purchased with his own precious blood. And Lord, we're gathered today in his name, and we come, Lord, to give thee thanks for the life and witness of our brother, Willie Ferguson. Lord, we thank thee for a man that was saved by the grace of God. And we thank thee, Lord, that he lived that life before the Lord and before men. We thank thee, Lord, his children today can rise up and call him blessed. Bless thee, Lord, for every influence that he had on my life and on the lives of all those that he came in contact with. Lord, truly, a prince in Israel was Willie Ferguson. Now, Lord, he's gone to be with yourself, which is very far better. But, Lord, we commit Mrs. Ferguson and the family especially unto thee, and we pray that the God of all comfort will be near to them. We thank thee, Lord, thou art the sympathizing Jesus. We read in thy word at the tomb of Lazarus that Jesus wept. And he does weep with those that weep. He mourns with those that mourn. He's the great comforter. And we ask that they might know much of thy comfort in the days that lie ahead. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless our brethren as they take part in the service today, especially as Mr. Thompson would give the word of God, that he would preach the word, that he might know that anointing that cometh from on high. And, O God, even at this Thanksgiving service, that the Lord would speak to hearts, that some might come to know thee, whom to know is life eternal, that thy name might be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Could I personally, briefly, and yet very sincerely, on behalf of Presbytery, express our sympathy to you, Mrs. Ferguson, and the family at this time? We do want to assure you of our prayers. For decades, Mr. William Ferguson has been a member of the General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. And he will be missed not only by you, his family, and by the congregation here in Mount Merion, but by the whole denomination. I just simply want to leave one short verse with you that sums up our opinion of the life and testimony of Mr. Ferguson as regards his service among his fellow elders and officers of the denomination. Colossians 4:9, a faithful and beloved brother. A faithful and beloved brother. That's how we thought of Willie in the meetings. And we can say of him and testify here in this service The words of Matthew 25, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." For he was faithful, and we knew that. Willie was an encourager in the presbytery. What I mean by that, he was one who sought to solve any problems that arose, not a creator of problems. He was so easy to get on with, so tender, so gentle, and he wanted to solve things. That's men we need in the work of God today. That's why we will miss him so much. We know that today is a day of sadness for you. It's a day of witness, as we witness from our presbytery to his life and testimony. But thank God there is that note of gladness, because as a presbytery, and we will remember you especially in prayer, the family, Mrs. Fergus, knew the grief at our next presbytery. We will gather as elders and remember you in prayer. But there will be that note of thanksgiving for all that the Lord did for Willie at Calvary and dying for him, and for what the Lord did in and through him in that great work of sanctification, and for what the Lord did in him and through him, even for not only for Mount Merion, but for the testimony of the Free Presbyterian Witness. And so on behalf of Presbytery, we do assure you of our prayers today.
We do thank Mr. Johnson taking time out today. It's a very busy schedule to be with us here and with you, the family, in Mount Merion. For many reasons, we'll miss Willie. Willie was one of the two remaining elders in this congregation. And it is my duty to ask Mr. John Dunn, a very close personal friend of Willie's and our only elder left, to come and read the scriptures at this time. John.
Well, friends, this is a very sad time for our congregation, sad time for us as elders and committee of the church, and we know it's a very sad time for you as family and family circle, but you know God has promised to be with us. God has promised to help us, and Willie and me sat and read many times together. We sat Wednesday night just prior to his death. We sat that night and he wasn't feeling very well. But when the family had left, I stayed on for a while with him. And we read and prayed together and cried together. And Willie says, "John, it's not long now." And that didn't help me any. But, well, we know that God has his ways and his time for each one of us. We're going to miss Willie. We're going to miss him as a church. We're going to miss him as a friend. But Willie was one that always was a friend, that always helped in our time of need. And can I just say to the family circle, and just leave them before the Lord and pray that God will bless them. For those that know the Lord as their Savior, they can rejoice with Willie and be assured that they're going to meet with him. If there's any of those that know not the Lord as their Savior, our prayer and our desire is that you may come and put your faith and your trust in Willie's Savior. Willie was very faithful, and I'm sure there's very few times that Willie missed the opportunity to witness to you as a believer in the Lord. Willie had some favourite messages and psalms. He used to love reading the psalms, and Willie and when Willie and Lily were together, we used to read psalms together, and that night as we sat and read, I read one of Willie's favourites, and as we read it, Willie, as usual, wasn't his usual self that night, but normally Willie would just have repeated it after you. But that night, as we read Psalm 121, one of his favourites, many, many times we've read it with him. Many times I sit and read, and Willie would have repeated it after me, and maybe after it was over, even he could have repeated the whole psalm without any problem. Well, he loved the psalms. Love you to read with him. Love you to pray with him. And I want to read that, one of his favourites, to you this morning. And pray that God will touch your heart as he touched each one of us, one of ours. It simply says, I will lift up mine eyes on to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And as we read through it, Willie kept saying, Amen. He believed it, he trusted, he thought these were wonderful words. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We know God will bless this His word to each one of our hearts, as it blessed the word to Willie many, many times. Willie enjoyed the word. He lived for the word. He lived for God. And as a church, well, we're just going to miss him, as you will miss him too. Willie, when he came into the prayer meeting, if there was nobody praying, Willie was up on his feet and wanting to pray. He trusted God. He prayed for our church. He prayed for you as a people. There's very few in our meeting this evening that he wouldn't have prayed for you. And his whole desire is, right throughout the whole time that I have known him for many years, all he wanted to do was see folk coming and trusting the Lord as his Savior. May you do so for his name's sake. Amen.
I'd like to thank John for reading God's word to us. I'm going to ask Dr. Alan Cairns to come and bring a tribute to Mr. Ferguson. I can't think of a better man to be here today to speak about Mr. Ferguson. There are many men who could speak about him, but Dr. Cairns is, as he refers to himself, a Mount Marianite, and he's one of us, and we thank him for his love for this congregation, and we want to ask him now just to bring that tribute to his friend and to his colleague, Willie Ferguson.
Ministers get many jobs. One that I never like is what the Americans call the eulogy and what we call the tribute during a funeral. Most of them, people dismiss. We have that saying, you never speak ill of the dead. And so therefore, and every minister knows this, in fact, you probably all know it, we have been to funerals where some old rogue is being buried, and yet you'll get some, well, I'll not use very strong language, but somebody who is not really telling the truth, and the clerical collar doesn't make a lie into the truth. And he'll get up and he'll say all sorts of nice things about some of the rottenest people you ever had the misfortune to meet. And so people sit there and they say, that's the sort of thing they do in churches. They want to say something nice about the dead. So I must confess, I never really liked the idea of having to pay a tribute at a funeral. Because, as I say, most people dismiss them. But I was talking to some of my colleagues, and I said, this will be an easy one, because if I can say one thing about our brother Willie, it's easy, very easy, to say nice things about him. I think I knew Willie for about 53 years. I was here as a teenager in the church when Willie came among us. And I have known him ever since. Many of those years, of course, I lived abroad and only met him when I came back to Mount Marion and to preach. But those early years, I did get to know him. Mount Marion was a small church. It, in many ways, was a wonderful church. This, because it was small, we were very close. We lived in each other's pocket, as it were. We knew everything about each other. Those are wonderful characteristics until you begin to see the warts in people. And sometimes then it works against you. So that we had some great times of blessing. Wonderful prayer meetings. This is the church I learned to pray in. All nights of prayer. Times when we touched the throne of God. Times that changed my life. I look back on those times. And of course, ever since he came into the church, Willie was always part of them all, whatever we were doing. Well, in this small church, no matter what was being done, everybody had to be part of it because there was no room for hangers-on. When I look back in those days, you know, I think that we had a church that was so good and so close, and yet every so often you'd get somebody would do something foolish, say something really crazy, and they would cause a disturbance, cause hurt feelings. And as I say, when you're very close and you've nowhere else to look, it tends to be that somebody can do that all too often. And it happened here in Mount Marion. I remember somebody insulted, well, he meant this to be an insult to Willie. And when I heard it at first, I didn't have the wit. I was only a teenager. I didn't have the wit to know that it was actually one of the greatest compliments could ever be paid to him. We had Bert Cook as our preacher, and we thought we had the world's greatest preacher. Now, I know that Dr. Paisley's congregation disagreed, but we didn't care about what Ravenhill thought. We had the world's greatest preacher. So we thought. And undoubtedly a wonderful preacher and pastor. And a great friend. But when Bertie would be gone, other preachers would come. And, of course, they didn't measure up to his preaching standard. And so there was a group, a culture that, you know, that they were almost sermon tasters and sermon judgers. And if they didn't measure up, well, it's all right, but, there's always the but. And they would find some fault. But Big Willie, as we called him, now, he grew down as he grew older, but Big Willie, I was always looking up to him. Big Willie had always the same thing. When he would come out to the preacher, he would shake his hand. You can still see that big handshake. And he would thank the preacher. And he would tell him, I was blessed. And this particular fellow thought, he'd shrug it off and say, ah, Willie, he's easily blessed. And that was that. Sometime later, the Lord called me into the ministry, and I can remember the first time coming back to preach in my own home church in Mount Marion. It's a strange, strange feeling, I can tell you. And as a young fella, not feeling that I was at home in my home church, feeling very much like a fish out of water, I preached my best, but I have to be honest and tell you, as a 20-year-old, my best wouldn't have been very good. And yet when I came to the door, there was Willie, beaming. I was blessed. And I thought, that's the greatest compliment. He's easily blessed. And I can tell you the secret of that. You see, about 5 or 6 o'clock every morning, Big Willie was up on his knees, getting through to God. And by the time he would come out to church, he was already in the blessing. Willie didn't come to church to get blessed just. He came in the blessing and he brought it with him. So if I only read the scriptures, Willie was blessed. You know, that wasn't the insult it was meant to be. It was the greatest compliment you could ever pay him. Easily blessed. And I appreciated that because As I watched Willie in every part of the Lord's work, there were times we could laugh. He would do some strange things and funny things. When Willie made the announcements, you know, you could have been outside the door with your eyes shut and you would have known it was Willie, even if he didn't open his mouth. For some reason or other, he always kept loose change in his pocket. Always. And when Willie stood up to make the announcements, he always jingled that change in his pocket. And he would bounce up and down like this here. And he would jingle the change in his pocket. He did some funny things. Sometimes he said some funny things. When Dr. Myron Geiler from Ohio was preaching at the Easter Convention down in the Ravenhill Road and Martyrs Memorial, Willie looked at the thing and he didn't half look at it, and he said that Dr. Nylon Guler from Ohio was going to be preaching. And other strange things at times. You know, anybody who speaks in public, you're always going to open your mouth and open it again to change feet. So, but you know, the biggest thing I remember about Willie is this, and I can pay him no greater compliment. When I thought of Willie Ferguson, this one man in the Bible came to mind. And when I was asked if I would do this tribute, this is the man who came to mind. And his name is Barnabas. That's strange, because Barnabas was called an apostle. Barnabas traveled the world as an evangelist. Barnabas was a leading preacher, and Willie Ferguson was none of those things. But I'll tell you what it says about Barnabas. He came to Antioch and he saw the grace of God, and he was glad in the people. He saw the grace of God. He was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Mr. Johnson has already mentioned something that was true of Barnabas and was supremely true of Willie Ferguson. He was the great encourager. Barnabas was called the son of consolation. Willie was the ultimate encourager. Now, sometimes in his attempts to encourage you, if you're a preacher, he could throw you off. You know, when preachers preach, I maybe shouldn't give away trade secrets, but when preachers preach, or any public speaker speaks, there's a time when he doesn't just jump on. There's what public speakers call a rhetorical pause. In other words, there's a few seconds. You just let it sink in. Well, if you were hoping to do that in Mount Marion, you had another hope coming. Because Willie not only repeated what you'd said, and especially in Lily's ear, I'm sure she'll remember that, he not only repeated what you'd said in a whisper that was as big as the preacher's voice, but he would jump ahead of you to tell what you were going to say. So the effect of rhetoric was altogether lost. And yet you couldn't change that. You wouldn't change it, for that was Willie. There's some people, you know, and they will shout out amen and hallelujah in meetings, and I must say it really disturbs me, because they are proud attention seekers. And they ruin a meeting. Willie Ferguson was not like that. Willie was with you 100% of the way. The word was blessing him. And he was simply saying amen. An encourager. Encourage me. Encourage Jim Harton. He encouraged the elders, whatever he did. And yet, you know, there was another side. And I'm not going to go into any details. This is not the time or place to do that. But in every church, when you're in leadership, there are problems come up. There are difficult decisions to be taken. There's a time when you've got to take a stand as a man. Such a time came, and I think it wouldn't be too much to say if Willie Ferguson had not stood, this church would have had irreparable damage. But Willie Ferguson stood. The crisis was met. The solution was made. And the work of God went forward. I know that. And those who were there at the time know that. So he wasn't just this nice guy. He was a nice fella. But he wasn't just a nice guy. He was a man of principle. A good man. And yet, you know, if I were, and I think I'm absolutely certain about this, if I were saying all this and Willie Ferguson was sitting down there, there would be no amens. And there wouldn't be a more uncomfortable person in the building. For in all the years that I knew Willie, two things I have never heard. Number one, I have never heard a bitter word from his lips. I would to God I could say that about every one of us. But I never heard him utter a bitter word. And the other thing I never heard from him, I never heard a boastful word. Never heard him exalt Willie. And so if he were sitting beside Lily as he always did, he'd be very uncomfortable. And he'd be waiting to say, when are you going to give over talking about me? Tell them about the Lord. Willie was a good man. But he wasn't born good. He's born the same as you and me, just a sinner. And his heart was as black as yours or mine. And whatever nice sort of nature he had would never have got him to heaven. But as a sinner, he came to Christ, passed from death unto life, was washed in the blood of Christ, and then God really filled his life. You've heard his life was the church. Well, that's true to an extent. His life was Christ. And since the church served Christ, then his life was the church. He was full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of joy, full of Christian life. And I would today ask you to think of this. We're here to bury a 96-year-old. You know, most 96-year-old people in the day, unless they're very famous, there's half a dozen people at your funeral. The world doesn't care. Shrug their shoulders, 96, so what? You never miss a 96-year-old. That's the idea. Your being here today is a testimony. This was a special 96-year-old. Man of God. Already, he's being missed. Mount Marion, in a way, will never be the same. Its prayer meetings will never be the same. That's not to say they'll not meet with the Lord and be moved and blessed of God. They will. But for me, after over half a century coming back and forth to Mount Marion, in Willie's time, I'll not tell you how many years I was here before Willie, but for me, to miss the big handshake, the big smile, to go into the room to pray, to hear a man who knew how to pray lay hold of God, to miss all that is to say this church has suffered a tremendous loss. A good man, saved man, and you had the privilege of knowing him. Can I say a word to the family? First of all, to Lily, his dear wife. She's been with him and with us in Mount Marion all these years. And all that's said of Willie could be said of her, because never again did I ever hear her become bitter or angry. But to Lily, let me give you personally my sympathy. We all loved Willie and you, and I trust the Lord will support you and sustain you, and give you grace, because life's going to be very different. To John and his wife and family, and Margaret, her husband, the family, the grandchildren, We give your sympathy. But I want to tell you something. Especially to the young people among you, don't be fools. You see us old fellows and you think they never knew what it was to be young. It's not so long ago we were young too. One of the great regrets in my life is that my dad used to tell us various things about experiences in World War I. Some of them I can remember. One of the greatest regrets was after a while I let it just all pass by and I never really did what I should have done, get a tape recorder down, and keep this forever in memory. You tend to dismiss, well, that's old folk. You've had the privilege of knowing a man of God. I trust that you'll not let the impact of that pass. Make sure you know his Savior. And make sure when it comes to your funeral day, whoever gives the tribute will be honestly able to say what I have been honestly able to say. It's easy to do this. Because he was a good man, or woman as the case may be. Saved by grace, full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord make Willie's testimony an ever and ongoing testimony among us all for the glory of the Saviour's name. Amen.
I'd like to thank Dr. Cairns for bringing that tribute to us this morning. As you look at me and you see these men behind me, I'm the young one here. But I want us to say that each of these men and many more here in this building were prayed for in the Ferguson home. Willie Ferguson loved Dr. Cairns. He loved Brother Smiley, Mr. Harton, Dr. Johnson, many more. He prayed for them. And I know that he would be thrilled to know they're here today. But I do personally appreciate Dr. Cairns coming. And I know the family do as well. And we do thank you, brother, for that indeed. I'd like to turn you to God's Word this morning, still in the morning part of the day. And I want you to turn to the Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. So it's coming out of college, 2007. I was placed here, I was called as the minister to this congregation in Mount Merriam. And I do feel it personally today. Willie was one of those men that signed the call, along with his dear wife Lily. And I do appreciate all the support that they've given to me and my wife and my family for over 3 years now. And we certainly cherish all their support. Only a minister will know what I'm going to say to be true. In recent months, recent days, Willie has not been enjoying good health. And I knew that this day would come sometime. I did. I don't like to think about that. I wish I could keep Willie Ferguson here for many, many years. But as we all know, death doesn't keep away, or age does not keep away death. Death will come to each one of us, young and old. And Willie was very ill, and it was clear that his time was coming to go to be with Christ. I knew that this funeral would be very different. I knew this would not be any ordinary funeral, what men would say. Not because Willie was 96 years of age, or because he was any better than you or I, but because of the man that he was, because of his character. I just want to speak from my heart, just for a few moments to you. And these words that we have before us in the book of Psalms, is Psalm number 1. You have a picture here of the godly man. There are two men, in fact, in this psalm. And we first read of the character of the godly man and the character of the ungodly man. Dr. Cairns has already pointed out that, you know, where Willie Ferguson was not born a believer. He was not born a Christian. And human race, the whole of humanity is divided, saved, unsaved. Those who are Christ, those who are not. Godly men, ungodly men. Willie Ferguson was a godly man. I would have you think for a few moments on the character of the godly man. And think about Willie Ferguson. Willie was a happy man. If you look at verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. A godly man is a happy man. And Willie Ferguson was a happy man. That big smiling face, the big handshake, sometimes that big hug, that was Willie Ferguson. And some might say that was his nature, but the scriptures plainly tell us, blessed, or the word blessed really means happy. The happiness is of this man. He's a happy man who doesn't get engaged or involved with the world. You meet some people today, I certainly have, and they think, well, you know, godly men are boring men. They're dull men. They're gloomy. They're not joyful at all. Well, that can never be said of Willie Ferguson. Willie radiated for Christ. And the source of his happiness was Christ. The source of his happiness was his godliness. He was a man of Scripture. Verse 2 of the Psalm, David here says, the character of the godly man is that he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. He thinks about the word of God. Mr. Cairns said that whenever a preacher came to preach in Mount Merion, you got halfway through the verse, you took that pause, and Willie just filled in the rest of the verse for you. And there was one night in particular, I was quoting a verse, it was one of my first sermons here, and I took a pause just to apply what I was saying, and Willie just leaned over to Lily and just finished the whole verse for me and just threw me completely off the sermon. And I actually had to say, thanks, brother. Where do I go from here? And the congregation saw the funny side of it, but our brother John said to me afterwards, I really felt it for you up there, brother, because, you know, that happens every week. And there's some Sundays I really felt like saying, Willie, could you go and sit in the cry room, because let me get on with the sermon. But I come to enjoy our brother Billy. He used to sit here in the second row, sometimes in the front. I come to miss. When Willie was ill, you missed that big amen. Or he's right, brother. Well, Lily, he's right what he's saying. You always knew whenever you were preaching good theology to Billy, because Willie would have affirmed that with a big amen. But Willie was a man of Scripture. He delighted in the law of the Lord. When Willie was in hospital, there was one evening I went up after a service, called in quite late, and the lights were dimmed in the ward, and there was Willie sitting in the bed with the Scriptures. He never even noticed me standing at the end of the bed. I says, Willie. And he looked up, and there he was with the Scriptures and the glasses. You know, just like a child, bowing before you. He went to sleep with God's word in his heart. Willie was a man of Scripture. There were some ropey sermons preached here over the past 3 years. But Billy Ferguson used to go out that door and he'd say, brother, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And my people know that I can't hide my feelings. I always used to put the head down, you know, when I've preached a bad sermon, really duffed one. But Billy always went past me and said, brother, you're a faithful wee man. Keep at it. And I just hope the rest of the congregation feel that way. But Willie was a man of prayer. Willie was a man of prayer. It was said of many men that Scripture was their life, that if you would prick them with a pen, they would bleed Scripture. That was Billy. His inscripturated life fueled his prayer life. We could learn a lot from Billy Ferguson. That bus would have pulled in Sunday evening, and Willie, like a spring lamb, would have leapt off that bus with the stick, and he's straight to the prayer meeting, into the seat, and he began to pray. Didn't matter if I was there or who was coming, Willie began the prayer meeting. And that's certainly one thing I'll miss about Willie. As Lily knows, we're not painting a picture here today of some saint that never was a saint. Willie was a man of prayer. Willie could have went into a prayer meeting on a Tuesday night, and he could have raised that prayer meeting to the throne of God. It took me with him. It took the whole congregation with him. We would have stayed there. We would have remained there. At the throne of grace, Willie didn't control the prayer meeting. Willie came in, prayed a few sentences, prayed for me, prayed for his family, prayed for many in his congregation, and But while he had favour with God, he had favour with men. While he prayed for his family, while he prayed for his minister. Speaking with Dr. Cairns and speaking with Reverend Harton in recent days, that's one thing these men have said. Reverend Stephen Hamilton, Stanley Barnes, Fred Greenfield, Dr. Douglas, all those men in this congregation said, well, he stood by us. Well, he prayed for us. Well, he didn't change his shirt when it was advantageous to do so. He didn't change with the wind. Well, he remained firm. You read Psalm 1, verse 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, he was a man of stability. He was a stable man, solid as a rock. David says here that the stability of the godly man is not due to some human feature, but because he was a man of prayer and a man of the Scripture. Billy Ferguson made the Scriptures the center of his home. His family can testify that to you all today. And when you look at God's Word, the result of making God's Word your focus in your life and your home, it brings stability. And of course, the stability that Billy Ferguson had, the godly man has, is always due to his being in Christ. The godly man, the man who knows the Savior, is one who is stable in all his ways. He's not as unstable as water. That's Billy Ferguson. I can say much more about Billy. He certainly was a man of substance as well. In verse number 3, we read, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. His leaf shall not wither. And I say it without, you know, meaning it any other way, but the Lord has blessed Billy Ferguson materially and spiritually. And Billy rejoiced in what the Lord gave him. Whatever money he had, whatever things he had, Billy had contentment. That little flat round there in South Bank, you know, it just radiated of contentment. That's all he had. Well, he had his cooker where he fried. He had his bedroom where he slept. And I remember him saying to me one day, brother, you know, you can only wear one pair of shoes at one time. I can only live in one room at one point in time. And that was Billy's attitude to life. But God had blessed him. Mount Marion as a congregation knew that. There were projects undertaken in this church, and the man behind him was Willie Ferguson. Well, he didn't make a god of this life. He didn't make a god of his substance. I know, Lily, we as a family appreciate it. What you have done for me and Kay and the children. Many of the grandchildren will know that as children you went into the Ferguson home and there was no child came out without a pound coin or a few coins. Well, he was a big-hearted, generous man. He was a generous man in many ways, but the Lord blessed him. Well, he rejoiced in that. There's many in this congregation today, and I can see you from here. Some of you have never been in this church before. I know your name, and Willie prayed for you. And that tells me that Willie Ferguson was a man of stature. He had respect in that housing estate behind you, behind us today. Well, he had respect. He commanded that from me. He commanded that from his neighbours, from so many here today. That's why you're here. And yet that's the character of the godly man. A man of stature. But Willie would want me today to show you the contrast. In verse 4, the whole psalm changes. All I've said about the godly man and Willie Ferguson is not true of the ungodly man. Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so. They're not alike. They're entirely dissimilar in respect of their person, of their prospect, of their position in life, where they're going in relation to eternity. And Willie would want me to make that very clear to you as a congregation. There's a contrast in character. David says, the ungodly are not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They're not known by the Lord as Willie Ferguson was known by the Lord. There's no blessedness, there's no joy, there's no stability, there's nothing that I've said about the godly man, about Billy Ferguson, that is true of the man who's not saved, the man who knows not Christ. There's a contrast in death. Willie went to be with the Lord Monday evening. I read the 23rd Psalm with Billy just about an hour before he passed away. And to show you the kind of strength of this man, something that the unsaved does not have, as I read and explained, he hadn't spoken for maybe over an hour. He had no strength in his body. And I said, Billy, the Lord is your shepherd. He's leading you. He's with you. We're all standing here in the shadow of death. The Lord is your shepherd. There was a great pause. While he reached forward with his hand, he pulled the oxygen mask off his face. And the family know this to be true. He just let this big amen. Amen. He just slumped back in the bed. I remember saying to him, Billy, is that your final amen? There's no response, but men and women, that was his final earthly amen. But Billy Ferguson that Monday evening heard the well done of God. He heard the amen of God. I said humorously to my wife on Monday night, it was quite late on, the early hours of the morning before we got to sleep, and because of Willie is such a character, I said, you know, and I don't mean this to be humor in any bad way, but I said, okay, you know, you could almost hear the Lord saying this afternoon, Willie Ferguson's coming home tonight. Billy Ferguson, such a presence. I could just see him leaping through the gates of heaven to be with his Christ, to be with those who have gone before him. That was Willie's death. But the Lord says, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. Let me just mention in passing, the godly man's Christ. In verse 6 of that psalm, we read, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Willie knew Christ. Christ knew Willie. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, and that way is a heavenward way. When visiting with Willie in his illness or during his recent days, I would often turn this to the book of John, chapter 17, and I would read to him and say, Willie, the Lord's prayer for you is that he wills that you be with him, that where he is, there you may be also. And when the Lord took Billy on Monday night, I remember saying to the family, I says, what we're witnessing here is the fulfillment of the will of Christ. This is the will of Christ for Willie. He's praying as Willie's great high priest, his Savior, his Christ. Billy, my will is that you be with me, that where I am, there you may be also, that you might behold my glory. And that's where Willie is today. But there's also the godly man's heaven. The godly man's heaven in verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way. The way of the godly man is a heavenward way. It's not earthbound. And when you spent time with Billy Ferguson, he was a man who really didn't live on earth. He lived in a different plane. There's an old hymn, and I believe it's true of Billy Ferguson, that each night he pitched his earthly tabernacle a day's march nearer home. He was a man on his way to heaven. And that's where Willie wanted to be. Where Brother John and Noel phoned the other day and said, listen, you better come to the hospital. Willie had said just the night before, Brother, I believe it's my time. I want to go. I thought I was going last night, Paul. That's where Willie wants to be today. Willie wants to be in heaven. He wanted to be there, and I know that the family feel his loss greatly today, and we'd want to have him here. But you know, as I speak to you as a congregation, I want to say to you that Billy's in the glory today. Willie knew something about heaven that some of you don't know about heaven. You listen to some preachers and you know, you wonder, why would anybody want to go to that place? And they almost paint glory as like one long boring church service, where all you have to do is sing all day, and if you get fed up with that, well, you can pick up your harp and do something. That's not heaven. That's not the godly man's heaven. Well, he had a joyful view of Christ and his home, his future home, his prospect. The prospect of the godly man is a joyful entrance into the kingdom of heaven. I just want to warn you today that we're at a funeral service of a man who knew Christ. An old famous preacher said that rebirth brings us into the kingdom of grace, but death brings us into the kingdom of God. I wonder today where some of you stand in regards to Willie's Christ, Willie's gospel. Oh, I pray today that you will seek his Saviour. It may be strange for me to say this at a funeral service, but you know, there's services here every Lord's Day. Why not come? Hear Christ preached. I've asked Dr. Cairns to preach this Lord's Day evening to the congregation and to minister to us. Why not come? Why not come and hear about Christ in that place where Willie is today? May the Lord bless you as a family. May the Lord bless us all as we continue in his presence. We're going to stand to sing.